This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Yo, what's happening? Tinky and Tierney ready to go. As always, coming from the Rocky Morgan studio when you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life. Rocket Can, what is good? Got a little LeBron, Kyrie, Harden, of course. A little Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson today. We were going to get to that yesterday. Then Bruce Arians decided to pick up the phone and just call in to us. So we said, you know what? We'll scrap the Trevor Lawrence stuff and we'll get to our buddy Bruce, who was with us yesterday. If you missed it, radio.com, Apple, iTunes. Great chat. Let's just say Bruce sounded a little loose. He was feeling pretty good, right?
I don't blame him. Do
Neither
you?
Do I.
Neither
I
mean, do come on, Bruce. Hey, do what you got to do, brother.
Put him on down. Jim Boeheim actually did something that probably is not that smart to do, and that is to wade into the waters of another program. But we get to the Bucks, and we get to Giannis, and I am going to defer to you for a moment because I once I get going, it's going to take a little while to stop, I think. Let me establish the bridge by saying this. Giannis ain't that guy. you take us wherever you want to take us.
Dude, he's the MVP. How is he not that guy?
That guy. I'm going to lay out. Giannis is not that guy. Go ahead.
Look, I'm just not reactionary like a lot of people want to be when it comes to Giannis. I know that he's got faults in his game, which is interesting because he's won back-to-back MVPs. He's been the defensive player of the year. He's got all of the accolades, and he's got the body type. He's got the explosiveness. He's got everything that you would want in a big man. The problem is, and maybe we got enamored with that, all that, like the intangibles, the skills. You know, if this was football, we'd say, and he was a quarterback, we'd say the arm talent.
He can make all the throws,
right?
TV.
Like he's got all of that. Like you want to chisel out like the perfect looking basketball player? It's gonna be Giannis Antetokounmpo. Period. He's tall. He's strong. I'm talking about physically.
I'm not talking about the modern play.
Okay, I'm not talking about any skills. I'm not talking about anything. I'm just saying. Pull a guy out of the ether and plop him down. That's what you want. The 6'11", you know,
thin,
wiry, athletic,
strong. Yeah, sure.
Like,
yep.
Can dribble. They do all those things.
Okay.
And then the problem becomes, now that we look at Giannis in full, is that he can't shoot, man. And in today's NBA, that's really the biggest issue with Giannis is he cannot shoot. And I'm not just talking about like a pull-up jumper from the elbow, you know, whatever it is, 15, 14 feet, whatever that may be. Not even that. Mm-hmm. Like, he can't shoot free throws.
No.
Like, he can't do the easy things. And it's what we used to get on, say, the old school big man, like Shaq, right?
Yep.
Shaq gets to the line, end of the game, you got a chance to beat him because you put Shaq on the line, you might get one of two or you might get zero of two.
Hack him.
Exactly right. And Giannis is falling into that.
Yes,
now,
he is.
With that being said, he's still the MVP, man.
He's not.
He can still score at will. He can still be dominant in the paint as a defender, as a rim protector. He's still athletic. He's a good defender, both in the wing and in the post. So I hear what you're saying, especially because they're on a bad losing streak.
By the way, I haven't
right
even
now.
Really said anything yet.
I know. Well, I know
you
what
know
you're.
Where I'm
I know.
Go.
I know what you're about to say because they're on a five-game losing streak, and the Brooklyn Nets, who are on a five-game winning streak, have now jumped them to second place. It is there are flaws there, and that means as much as we want to believe that he's like the man, he's kind of the second fiddle dude.
That's the ultimate point here. The Milwaukee Bucks will not win a championship if Giannis is the best player on the team. He'll make a ton of money. They'll win a lot of games, although this year they're only a couple of games over 500.
But isn't it hard to say him not being the best player? Don't they just need like a better or more consistent scorer?
I think they need
a better facilitator. Like if they have James, if James Harden,
I think they need a superstar.
James Harden,
Middleton's good, but he's not that guy.
But Drew Holiday's been hurt, and he's more their facilitator in defense. He's got some defensive acumen as well.
Yes, but I like Drew Holiday. Drew's a good player.
Go ahead.
You know, I'm not going to downsize Drew Holiday. Listen. I don't want to hear – I'm tired of hearing about points per game and the gaudy rebounding stats and the incredible PER. His two biggest weaknesses, which have proven fatal in the playoffs now multiple times, he has not gotten better at. He's not in year two. He's not in year four. He's not in year six. He's in year eight. He's kind of what he is.
8 years already?
Yeah, man. Wow. Which on almost every level is superb, except the one level that you need to win the championship. This is not to downgrade him to Scrubville. He is a star where I would kick back hardly, strongly, I should say, is that he's not a superstar. Like, I don't see him in that prism. Teak. Last year, now I got to reference some numbers. I know numbers could get boring, but this is important. All right. Last year, he was about 31% from downtown. This year, he's 28%, which is exactly his average. 8 years in, he has literally not gotten better. Same career average, you know, it's the same exact percentage in year eight. Yeah. Last year, 63.3% from the free throw line, 63.7% this year. Now, you could say, well, yeah, okay. But this is where you have to dig. He shot 52.5% from the free throw line last year in the Eastern Conference semis, right against Miami.
That's just gross.
20 out of 41 for the primary facilitator, the primary scorer. You know what? The year before, Eastern Conference finals against the Raptors, he shot 55% from the free throw line. Now, I understand it's a pandemic year, and I understand that the Raptors are playing better basketball. But the Raptors are still far from a championship team. They lost early in the season. They gave up a buck 30. I loved it because it was my Knicks, but the Knicks are one of the worst offensive teams in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Look at the numbers. Great defensive team. They play hard. They can't score with frequency. They gave up a buck 30. They've lost games to the Pelicans, to Charlotte. They lost to Miami without Jimmy Butler. They just got swept by the Raptors back-to-back games. I mean, what other evidence do you need? Because I've been saying now for 2 years, I don't think the Bucks will win. Mm-hmm. I've been saying for 2 years, while still giving Giannis his props, but separating the two, I've been saying for years, I like Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton's not the right number two for Giannis. He's not that guy. He's a number three, okay? What am I missing here? Why am I wrong?
I don't think you are wrong, BT. I don't think you're missing anything. I think we've seen this. Because once you get to those seven-game series in the postseason, the trend is Giannis might have a day, right? A game.
Yes.
But eventually he gets figured out. And, you know, they were, you know, a couple of bounces away against the Raptors from moving forward. But it's still, there were moments in that series where Giannis was neutralized. And without a second guy, a consistent, dominant scorer, you just can't win a championship in the NBA. You just can't. And not only dominance, he's got to be a dynamic scorer, meaning that he can do it in multiple ways. And as I was getting ready to say this, and we got derailed a little bit, but if Giannis had James Harden, like if James Harden had got traded to the Milwaukee Bucks as opposed to the Brooklyn Nets, I'd look at the Milwaukee Bucks and say, especially after I've seen this refiguring of James Harden. Yeah, Nets, but this refiguring of James Harden.
Yeah.
James Harden is the man. I mean, he's not an all-star starter. KD and Kyrie are. But the catalyst, like the straw in that Brooklyn Nets, is James Harden, dude. He's leading the team in assists and rebounds and steals even. PER, he's got the best PER on the team. Like, he is the catalyst that's making that team go right now, especially with KD and Kyrie intermittently being unavailable. Mm. James Harden's been the man. Now, if he was on the Bucks, like if they had a guy like that who, you know, can be a facilitator, get you 12 to 17 assists in any particular game, but oh wait, you got to go score 38, like James Harden had to
the other day
to go win.
There's only one guy like who else does that?
You're right. There's not. That's my point. Like Milwaukee needs that kind of player,
and that's my premise.
And there's only one. And as crazy as it sounds, he joined a super team and with the Nets, and it's why if they get better defensively, because they are literally one of the worst in basketball right now. I think they're 28th.
A little better last couple nights.
True, but still,
statistically. Have AD, the Suns game, they didn't give up a ton of points. Like, it's getting incrementally better for the Nets defensively.
Yes,
it
is. But statistically on the season, they're in the way in the back.
No, understood. But listen, by the way, so there is only one James Harden who could drop, forget about 30, could drop 50 on you and still go out and get, you know, 16 assists, which is what he had the other night. But there are other players that would, on most nights, relegate Giannis to a position that I believe he really needs to be for them to win a championship. Go get Bradley Beal. Do whatever it takes to get Zach LaVine. Now, the Bulls might not trade him within the division.
Yeah.
But this team's going to win nothing.
It's a
shame. Before you know it, Giannis is going to be 30 and eventually 31, and he's going to be disenchanted. And eventually, year by year, not detectable yet, not even close, but in 2 years it might be, that little slice of burst will slowly erode, and what he is best at, which is going by you with his speed and going over you with his hops, will no longer quite be the uber asset that it is now. Now, he won't be nailed to the floor, but without the other aspects of his game, how? This is my problem with MVP voting. This is why LeBron should win it every year. Can somebody explain to me? And I know Shaq's an anomaly because Shaq's won the MVP. I get it. But how could you win the MVP 2 years in a row and you can't hit a free throw and you can't hit a three in the modern NBA? Because that's why I'm tired of hearing about, oh, he dropped 35 and he had 17 rebounds. Rebounds mean nothing these days.
True.
Nothing.
But
assists mean nothing because everything's sped up. Watch Giannis play. He's not there when it matters.
Yeah.
Money time. He doesn't make the winning play.
Yeah, but those things matter to the lay viewer. And it's crazy.
But the lay viewer is not voting for the MVP.
I agree, but it feels like it is, though, because that's what it comes down to. At the end of the day, we get enamored with the statistics, and the statistics, they're great, they're fantastic, they put you in all-time, you know, regions of sport, but they don't win games. Stats are fantastic, but they don't win. It's moments that win games, and I think that's the biggest issue with Giannis, is those moments he's just come up short. And I don't know if there's an easy fix to it.
There's not.
That's really the issue, BT. Is like, where's the fix to what ails him?
Yeah, that's an outstanding point,
right?
It's
good to talk about it. Like, I think it's like people will listen to this and say, "Oh, you guys are crushing Giannis."
Oh, you know they will. Right? They'll disagree. That's
fine. He's the two-time MVP. I mean, he's defensive player of the year. He's the man. You don't know what the hell you're talking
about.
We'll
get roasted on social media for this. I really couldn't care less.
But the reality is, like, he needs to know these faults because he doesn't. He's okay with this. What's going on with the Milwaukee Bucks right now? He's okay with this.
He signed. He willingly determined this is where I want to stay.
You're right, and it's the same thing over and over and over again. Like 3 years ago or 4 years ago, they didn't have nearly the team to be even competitive.
No.
In the Eastern Conference towards a championship. They're getting there. But
I think they're going backwards. I think they're regressing.
Well, I mean,
I think they're regressing.
Over the last this year, they certainly are. But over the last couple of years, collectively, they were getting towards there. I mean, they were close to being, you know, a finals team. And then ultimately, you hit a point, like you hit a ceiling where if you don't do
adjustments, roster, not like, enhancement,
but
or
bigger,
but
larger
players?
Than that, like a supernova move. Like, you got to make that supernova move. Like, go get James Harden or go get Bradley Beal.
Well, how about this? How about the back-to-back MVP learns how to address his weakness.
Yeah, but can he?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the evidence right now, the answer is no. He's the same exact shooter he was 8 years ago.
Big men always have problems. I don't know why. I mean, there's some physics to this, I'm sure.
Dirk Nowitzki was money.
Shooting free throws.
Dirk Nowitzki was money from the stripe.
He was.
Hakeem Olajuwon was pretty good. Ewing was pretty good. I mean, at least in the 70s, man.
Yeah. Yeah, true. But
you know, Moses was fine. I mean, you don't have to be 91% like Steph Curry, but you can't be 55.5% in seven-game series. And by the way, they're not just regressing this year. 2 years ago, they were in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they were in the Eastern Conference Quarterfinals. Now, they're a couple of games over 500. This is not just a small little sample. This is now 2.5 years of going, in my opinion, and the direction is backed up by what I just said, in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And I'll take it a step further. Name any superstar. Name anyone. Steph Curry, LeBron James, AD, Doncic, Dame Lillard, Jason Tatum when he's not dealing with COVID stuff, right? I mean, Kawhi Leonard. We all know the superstars. Now think about clocks ticking, 8, 7, 6. They're trying to shake somebody. They rise up from 20. You feel good about all the... Now, they might not make every shot. Harden, Kyrie, Durant, obviously. I know I'm missing some. Those guys, you sit back. If you're a fan of that team, you say, he's going to drill this shot. This is money. We're going to win the game. When Giannis does that, you expect to lose. expect it to go clank.
Well, it depends on how far away he is, to be honest.
I'm talking about that jump shot when you can't get to the rim, when the defense and the coaching off the timeout reacts to that and prevents you from going to the rim, which is what decent coaches kind of do.
That's right.
And good defensive teams, which are playing in May and June, that's what they're waiting for. They got problems, the Bucks.
No, of course they do.
I don't think the
only issue I have with their problems is that they're not seeming to acknowledge them. But the challenge to them is they're gonna have to overpay for free agents, or they're gonna have to overpay to get to in trading. And so, how do you do that? And it's just hard. Like, there's not an easy solution. The perfect complement to Giannis is a guy like James Harden. The problem is just not many of them.
Or Beal. Beal's 35 a game.
True, but are they gonna trade him?
I can't answer.
It's hard.
I don't know the answer to that.
Because he's saying I want to stay in Washington. He doesn't want to bounce.
He loves it there. And you gotta respect that too.
I respect it. And in the face of whatever their season's going to turn out to be, you're going to push out your superstar who doesn't even want to leave? The answer is no. So
I would if I get a good package, because I got to rebuild. I got to worry about winning. But I know that sounds callous, and not everybody would agree with that take. But the Wizards, excuse me, Tiki, the Wizards are miles from winning.
No doubt.
Winning big. And by the time they're there, Bradley Beal's going to be in his early 30s, and if you don't trade him now or next year, you're going to lose that window of really getting a ton back for him. Anyway, I mean, your point is valid. It's not going to be easy, but time's ticking. It's ticking on every superstar, which is why James Harden said, get me out of Houston. Mm-hmm. I got to give myself a chance to win. Giannis had the same opportunity. He elected to stay. We respect that.
Yep.
But now he's faced with this conundrum, and it's not changing anytime soon.
That's right.
You know? What is changing is the way we need to perceive these Nets. We know that they can drop $130 on you with their eyes shut, playing a little defense. Now, I know, no AD last night, but no Kevin Durant either. So, in terms of the upper structure of the NBA, are the Nets truly, truly, truly the team to beat? Are they the best team in the NBA? We'll hit that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. This money right here. Oh, man. We lost a great one yesterday, Prince Markie D. Wanted to play that, get that early in the show, show a little love, a little respect. You know, the beatbox, and Teak, you know, I haven't done it in a while. I'm not going to do it now. I'm not going to disrespect the Fat Boys by doing it now. I have done it over the years on the air like a clown. But, you know, the origin of the beatbox, you know, some think it was Harlem in the late 70s, you know. Dougie Fresh obviously was great, you know. Yep. 6 minutes, Dougie Fresh, you're wrong. To me, it was always the Fat Boys. Like, the Fat Boys, I loved them. I remember this is crazy. I remember it had to be 85, and we had a snowstorm, and we were off from school.
Mm-hmm.
Never forget this. I got in so much trouble. And and I had the Benzy box, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And we were ducked behind a car, and we were, you know, we were banging the buses with snowballs and the cars that were going by. I was 12 years, whatever. It doesn't, yeah. You do what you do.
Do what you do. Everybody's gotten in trouble doing that.
I don't know if they got in trouble doing what I did here. This was unintentional, to be fair. I guess part of my snowball was icy, right? Mm-hmm. And I hit some unsuspecting car, which in hindsight is incredibly dangerous and dumb. But again, I was 12 years old. And it cracked his windshield.
Oh, jeez.
It cracked his windshield. Not like where it went splash, but I guess it spidered up and whatever. And we would always run. And we would want them to chase us. Like, we would hope somebody, every once in a while, somebody would get out of the car and chase us, which was awesome. Like, that's what we were trying to pull them in, luring them in to do. And we ran away. And I ran to my house. And my buddy Pat and Timmy, they ran back to their house, you know, which was like 7 blocks away. And the day's over, right? Because we knew we hit them pretty hard. Mm-hmm. Now, long story short, I'm in my bathroom. And I'm getting ready to take a shower. And I've got the beatbox. And I had just gotten the Fat Boy's new tape. The tape.
Tape. Yeah, cassette. Tape. You have to like roll back with your finger.
Tape. Yep.
Yes.
Ding dong. Bell rings. This guy saw me run into, I mean, this was actually a lack of street sense on my part because I ran, we were close to my house when I hit him. So I wasn't thinking that he was going to look where he saw me run into my house. Mm. And I just thought the day was over and he rang the bell. My dad was at work. Thank God. And my mom's like, can I help you, sir? And he's like, yeah, you know, your son just hit my window. So I had to come, I had to get dressed, I had to come down, apologize, and then I had to pay for it.
Oh, jeez.
But I'll never forget, I had the Fat Boy CD or tape all queued up, just getting ready to listen. Ding dong. Man, I love the Fat Boys. Fat Boys were great. Their movies were funny. The beatbox was great. So
the Orderlies, right? What's it called?
Yep,
the Orderlies?
Yep.
Yeah. The Disorderlies.
The Disorderlies. Those guys had some run, and you know their words are. I mean, listen, I love Snoop and Dre. I'm not into rap now, but like the old like Snoop and Dre, the Chronic, 90s, early Eminem. I mean, there's a lot of vulgar stuff there that I enjoy. I'm not trying to come across as a priest here, but the thing about the Fat Boys that was awesome is that it was pure.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, you didn't need to denigrate or you know women or it was a different style, and I loved them. So rest in peace. Rest in peace. So I wanted to get that out there. All right, Teak, are we sure the Nets are absolutely the best team in the NBA right now? Are we sure about this?
I don't know if they are the best team because the Jazz are pretty dang good themselves. 9 straight wins for the Jazz. But the Brooklyn Nets, BT, they're playing ridiculously well, even when their superstars are unavailable. And obviously KD's out for a couple of weeks here with the hamstring. He did have the COVID contact tracing issue that we talked about a couple weeks ago. But
when he got yo-yoed in, out.
Yeah, somebody he rode with and yada, yada, yada. But even despite that, they've been playing good basketball. Really, ever since James Harden came, they've been playing great offensive basketball. The number one scoring team in the NBA, and I think they have the number one net rating as well in the NBA for offensive. And it's because of this catalyst in James Harden. And I got to give him so much credit. BD.
You are a Harden guy.
I've always loved like he has a plan. Like there's a philosophy to what he does. Now, part of this is Mike D'Antoni, obviously, when he was in Houston, it was like, look, we know what your greatest skill is, you know, yo-yoing people, step back 3-pointers and getting to the rim and getting fouls. Like it used to be annoying when I didn't like him, you know what I mean? And he'd go through the lane, he'd stick his hands out. It's like, foul me, you know, try to get this ball. It's right here. Take it. All right, I'm going to move. You're going to foul me. I'm going to go to the hole and score. And then I'm going to, you know, get the free throw as well. And so I've always appreciated his game because he has a plan. Mm-hmm. And now that I watch him in this new role, because it's not emphasizing him as the scorer. Like, James Harden is not going to lead the league in scoring this year.
No.
But James Harden...
maybe never again in his career.
I don't disagree with that, BT. I do not disagree with that.
Right?
Because if this doesn't... I mean, however long this run works with this big three, say it's 2 years or 3 years, he's going to go someplace else. And he's in, because at that age, he's going to be like 33, whatever it may be.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to be... like, he's going to have to be in this role that he's in now, right? And so I think... he's mastering it. Like that's my biggest takeaway from the Nets. Yes, I know they have the big three, and I know Joe Harris is great as an accent piece there. And when he has to be the second fiddle, he's actually great at that as well.
He didn't miss. He missed one shot, one three last night.
That's right, as we saw over the last couple of games. Like I get all of that.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing for me is James Harden has evolved into this complete player. I mean, he's averaging a steal and a half a game. Mm-hmm. He's actually playing defense, not like elite defense. He's not a lockdown defender at all.
No.
But I mean,
passing lanes, etc.
All of that stuff.
Yeah.
He's doing really well, and it's surprising, I think, to me, and I think to a lot of people as well. He's the catalyst for why this Nets team has won five games in a row and are sitting second in the East right now.
And he is. That's undeniable. But let's also give Kyrie Irving some credit here.
No doubt.
If Coach Kyrie didn't determine that they were going to switch up the roles here in practice about a week or so ago, maybe the transition's not as seamless. And the other aspect, and we know that he's out, we just talked about him briefly, but Kevin Durant is he's not exactly like LeBron as a player, obviously.
No.
But he's very much the same mold in terms of being an incredibly easy superstar, all-timer to play with.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
His adaptability, Kevin Durant's, is incredibly understated. And I think, you could talk about the fall away, the handle, the length. I mean, all the things that he does, the incredible range. But the adaptability is an important piece of Kevin Durant's puzzle. And you throw it all together, you've got a team that is incredibly dangerous. And right now, there's no team I'd rather watch in the NBA than the Brooklyn Nets.
I agree.
Nets.
They're entertaining. And
no doubt.
And they're good.
My only reservation, though. Now, again, let's keep in mind.
Yeah.
There was no Anthony Davis last night.
That's a grab. Yeah, we're not making a big deal about this.
No,
this
not about the win, just in totality. Yeah. And the Nets don't have a lot of interior resistance. I mean, outside of Jordan, you know, when Allen got chipped out in the deal, you lose that two-headed monster. So even though AD plays outside, AD would have gotten loose inside too. My only concern, right, if I had to be that guy that tapped the brakes a bit, Steve Nash.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that he's incompetent by any stretch. And
what are you worried about right now?
I need to see the first point of adversity. I don't mean now. They're going to blow teams out if they're healthy.
Mm-hmm.
When you get – and even the first round, they'll smoke whomever they play. I think right now they'd actually play the Knicks in round one. Whomever they play, they're going to destroy them. But when you get to that point, whether you're down 2-1 or down 3-2 or down 1-0, there's going to be a point where coaching matters. It might not matter in the middle of February. I grant you that against most teams. Not that much. They can kind of autopilot this thing and drop $120 and just wax people. I don't know if they've got the coaching that is required to win a championship.
And the unfortunate thing is the only way to grow in that role is to be in that role.
For right? sure.
There's no class you're going to take. Yeah, you're going to get some help from Mike D'Antoni, who has obviously been in the postseason a lot as his assistant, the offensive assistant. Even Jock Vaughn has some sway there, but because of those couple of years that he was on on that Nets bench when he was helping them when they didn't have a ton of talent. So there's experience there, but it's still ultimately on Nash. I actually have given him a little bit more credit, and I think he might learn as this season goes on. Because think about it. He's learning now how to deal with, first of all, three studs. Like one of the big things that we talk and we crush Brad Stevens about up in Boston is that, man, you're such a great teacher. You can't handle the superstar, right? I think Steve Nash is doing a good job of handling the superstars on his squad. The X's and O's side, that's what we need to see once he gets into a fight in a 7-game series once they get into the postseason.
Yes.
But again, he's got help. I have faith that he'll be able to do it. One, because he was in that situation himself a few times.
You're talking about Steve as a player.
Yep, as a player.
Oh, the aptitude and the acumen is undeniably there.
The only
does
reservation?
That immediately transfer?
I don't think it does, but
we'll see.
Here's why it might not. The game was so different when he was doing it versus what it is now. So,
and the players were different, too.
Very different.
I hear you. So, I mean, the Nets are, some nights they're a 3-man show, some nights they're a 2-man show, some nights they're a 1-man show, but the Nets are a show. There's no dispute in that.
Yep.
All right, Teak. I shouldn't even ask the question because I can almost guess the answer. We grew up 2 miles from each other. It's like two planets apart. It's like 300 million miles separating me and Ack, like Earth and Mars. Ack. Did you at least like the Fat Boys a little bit?
Oh, I loved them.
You did?
Nice. Oh, absolutely.
Nice.
Fat Boys are back.
I'm stunned.
The Fat Boys and Chubby Checker doing the twist.
The twist. You got a little twist. That's right. You know what, Ack?
I was very sad when I saw that news last night.
Very 52 years young. 52, 53. I am pleasantly surprised. I'm pleasantly stunned that was your answer. I love that you said attaboy.
Good call.
Attaboy, Ack. All right. Ack's on top of that at least. So let's end the update, I'm sure. Let's get the update from Rich. We'll come back. We'll do inbounds, out of bounds, Ack's update. right now. All right, Teke and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Twitter at Teke and Tierney, Instagram Teke and Tierney, YouTube.com/Teke and Tierney. All right, time to ask the pros here. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pretty easy at this point. You should know the drill. If you're new to the show, simple. Just drop us a tweet at CBS Sports Radio. Make sure you use the hashtag Ask the Pros. That's at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros and make sure you stick around and listen later on. Teke and I will answer the best one, and we'll give you some props on the air as we answer it. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So, a lot of NBA out of the chute. Little Giannis, if you want to chime in on that, I think some people will think that I am wildly off base with Giannis. That's fine. We'd love to think, love to see what you think. Just get us on Twitter at Teke and Tierney, your thoughts on some of the things Teke and I discussed. Also, giving the Nets a ton of love. Just an absolute show. Next segment, Teke, this will be good. We're going to get to this yesterday, the whole Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson dynamic, which really, even though I love Zach Wilson, you know that, I'm much more Zach Wilson over Justin Fields, and I believe you are too at this point, right?
Yeah, no, without a doubt.
Okay. But never have I really gone so far as to say that if I had the first overall pick or on the scouting board, Zach should be in front of Trevor. Well, there are some scouts out there, credentialed scouts, who put their name next to it, who actually think that that's the case. Mm. Interesting. We'll have that conversation coming up next segment. But it is time for Inbounds, Out of Bounds. Teke, you ready to hit it? See what we got?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Teke and Tierney.
All right, yesterday the NBA announced LeBron James, Kevin Durant will be the captains for the All-Star game. Revealed the starters for each conference. So in the East, these lineups are sick. Like, I was trying to go through in my mind like a historical overview of some of the old, you know, the you had Dr. J and Bird. And I mean, it's some of these, but these teams stack up with anybody, I guess is what I'm saying. You've got in the East, you got Giannis, Embiid, Beal, Kyrie, and obviously Kevin Durant. While you have the Joker, you got Kawhi, you got Steph, you got Luka, along with LeBron James going for the West. However, some are upset that D. Lil was snubbed as a starter. Now, Dame and Luka's all-star score was actually tied, but even though Dame was voted higher than Doncic in both media and player voting, Luka got the starting nod because he had a higher fan vote. So that tilted the needle. All right. In or out. Damian Lillard's having a better season than Luka Doncic right now.
I got to say out of bounds to that, BT. Just looking statistically and PER-wise, they're about the same. I mean, there's not that much that's holding them apart. But when I look at the Dallas Mavericks right now, the only reason that they're even close to being somewhere is because Luka is holding this team together. Now, they're not nearly the team that we thought that they were going to be to start this season. Mm-hmm. And the expectations are certainly down. But I think if Luka's not playing as good as they are, they maybe have 10 wins right now.
But where would the Blazers be if Lillard was playing poorly?
It's a good point, but I mean, and the problem is I've seen Dallas play more than I've seen Portland.
So have I.
I hear about how Portland plays more than I hear about how Dallas plays. If that makes any sense,
it makes a ton of sense because they're on national TV more. And I referenced a couple of Saturdays ago when Doncic had 42,
yep,
and Steph Curry had 57,
yeah,
in the game where we thought Draymond ripped up his ACL. Remember that?
Yep, that's exactly right.
You know, we do see Dallas a little more frequently. So your answer is that Damian Lillard is not having a better season.
Out of bounds. Yeah.
I mean, this is splitting hairs. I'm going to say the answer for me is it is inbounds. I think he's slightly now, you know, PER, which is the literal measurement of efficiency. They're both 29 change, so they're both a tick below 30. So you'd say, yep, well, how do you extrapolate that Lillard's having a better season? Because I believe that Lillard's been more consistent. If you remember, Luka early came in a little overweight, took him a little bit to get going. So maybe peak Luka has been better than peak Lillard. But Lillard has not dealt with the wild fluctuations early that Luka Doncic did. Now, in terms of the three part, you know, the tiers here, the fan vote and the player vote, the media vote. I used to love as a kid going into all the stadiums, NBA venues, the Garden, Yankee Stadium, Shea Stadium, and just, you know, banging the holes for whomever was on my team. You know, mm-hmm. even guys that, like, shouldn't have been an all-star. And, oh, he's a Nick, he's a Yankee, yeah, we go. Like, I love that. So I'm never going to get on the air and minimize the
fan vote,
the merits of the fan vote. But when the media and the players are saying that one guy deserves it, and the fans are saying something else, that also encompasses a European vote. And we know Doncic is not from the United States. Damian Lillard should be starting this game. It's close, but I believe that Damian Lillard's had a slightly better season.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. See, a couple of weeks back, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver revealed that he would like his NBA players to get the vaccine as a public service announcement to show fans that it's safe.
African-American community, number one, there's been enormously disparate impact from COVID. But now, somewhat perversely, there's been enormous resistance in the African-American community for understandable historical reasons. But having said that, if that resistance continues, it'll be very much a double whammy to the Black community. Where our players have great influence, it's also among young people who also seem to be hesitating.
Okay, pretty interesting stuff there. Now ESPN's reporting that ESPN is that many of the top players are apprehensive and wary of participating in the PSA. Some are concerned about the vaccine for themselves. Others don't want to advocate for the vaccine. And some are just upset with the league for their all-star situation having a game. In or out, you are surprised players are pushing back on doing the PSA for the vaccine.
Well, I'm going to say out of bounds. I'm actually not surprised by this, BT. And I think it has little to do with the effectiveness of the vaccine or that they're scared. I think that this is a situation that the players don't feel like they're educated enough to talk about.
Yep.
Yes, it may be beneficial to them, and their team doctors can advise them, and their personal physicians can advise them, but it's not an issue that you have a deep knowledge about. And it just and so I don't know if they're the right advocates, because what can they actually say other than I got it, you should get it.
Yep.
And let's be real, like, this pandemic and the anticipation of this vaccine has been enormous. I don't even know if players need to advocate. I think people know about it enough because of what's going on in the world. It's in the paper or in the news literally every day for the last 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
Anticipating. So
probably more than that, anticipating it.
Yeah, exactly, I got you. So I'm not. So out of bounds, I'm not surprised that they're pushing back.
I agree with you. I'm in complete alignment with the players here. And it's not about being petty because of the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And, hey, they're sticking us with this. Let us stick that. No. To me, it's far deeper than that. Now, listen. You know, we have always stayed in our lane with this. You know, you wear a mask. I wear a mask. We've always worn masks. You said on the air you're not sure if you're going to get the vaccine. As soon as I can, I will. That's my personal position on that. But I would, like, if CBS said, hey, you know, Tiki, BT, we need you guys to do this PSA for the vaccine, I wouldn't do it, not because I have any issues with CBS. I love CBS. We've been here almost 10 years, man.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, speaking of 10 years, in 10 years, what is there residue? Is there potential harm from the vaccine? I don't know. I hope not. I pray not. But I don't know. So why would you attach yourself to anything that you don't necessarily know? I think the best thing is to probably take a pass and let the people who truly know, the doctors and science, let them be the ones to speak to this. Now, if it's a PSA about, you know, remember your brain on drugs with the frying pan or... Yeah, of course. I mean, give me the camera. Of course, you take drugs and you take too many, your brain's going to, you know, you're going to underachieve, you know, or other things that are just more commonplace that we've known forever, like drinking and driving.
Yeah,
of course, I would do a PSA for that. That's different. I understand the players' reluctance and resistance. I do.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, let's talk about the Dodgers. Even better this offseason they've gotten, adding reigning NL Cy Young winner Trevor Bauer to the loaded rotation. That will see the return of David Price as well. Yesterday, Vegas released their season win totals for each team. The Dodgers were listed an insane 104.5, all right? Tied for the highest with the 1999 Yankees. The Yankees. Who won that year? The Yankees won. Now, we won the series, but we didn't even win 100 games. I think the total was 98. Inbounds, out of bounds. The Dodgers will win more than 104 games in 2021. In or out?
I have no idea because I don't know how these this staff is going to work and they're going to stay healthy. But I'm going to say out of bounds just as a guess, mainly because of the challengers that are coming in the West, in particular the Padres. Not that the Padres by themselves are going to, you know, make a huge difference on the Dodgers, you know, win percentage.
Yep.
But I'm going to say out of bounds. I think they're going to fall short.
I'm going to say in bounds. I think, you know, what did they win 2 years ago? 106?
Yeah.
And they're better.
Yeah.
You know, they're better. Now they know. Now, is there any carryover World Series? Do they take their foot off the gas? I that I can't answer.
Injuries, all of that.
Sure.
You know,
part of the equation, no doubt.
Comfortability, age.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things at play there. But, I mean, the Rockies are going nowhere. The Rockies are going to be a doormat.
Yeah.
Padres are going to be really good. Giants are still a couple of years away. Giants are not a good baseball team. I mean, they're going to win that. I mean, Padres will offer some resistance, but the Dodgers are just going to beat up on everybody. I'm sure the Padres will win some. But outside of that, even the rest of the National League teams, I got to look at Interleague, but the Dodgers are loaded, man. So I'm just going to say common sense. They've done it before. They're better now. I'll say over.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
So, I mean, that's the one thing about baseball. You know, I'll play occasional futures. I did, what did I do this year with football? I think I did six. I said this on the air.
For 2021?
For this past year.
Oh, past year.
2020.
2020, yeah.
I had, like, the Cardinals, I had the Raiders, I had the Browns, I had the Steelers, I had one or two unders. I hit six out of seven. Baseball's harder. No, that's not to brag. That's just to say that I got a little lucky. Baseball's harder because you just don't know. I mean, it's such a long season. But 104 and a half games is a lot of games to win.
It is.
It's a lot, but I would still say that I would tilt over.
You got to be motivated for the whole time. The problem is there's just too many factors that can, and you mentioned a couple of them, health being the biggest one, but also just comfortability. You just won the World Series and it's mostly the same team, save David Price, who maybe is hungry, but I mean, he won one. So it's not like, you know, he's desperate for this one season to justify his existence in Major League Baseball. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. But you got, I mean, Walker Buehler is insane.
Oh, yeah.
And if Bauer is truly, if this is the new Trevor Bauer, I know he's had some other really good years, but he beat up on a lot of bad teams last year. Look it up. I'm not throwing shade at Trevor. He's got great stuff. But if this is Trevor Bauer, like we saw a year ago, I don't know how they, and they're healthy, I don't know how they don't, they're going to flirt with 110. I mean, they're going to destroy people. All right, T, coming up. Scouting is in the eye of the beholder. Highly subjective. But can you make the case that Zach Wilson is better than Trevor Lawrence? Some are. We'll hit that next.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.